Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. So, how much do you think you know about bees? I know nothing except they really helped me out with their honey. And I'll tell you all that story as we get into this, because our guest today is Ken Milam. He is the president of the York County Beekeepers Association, and he has agreed to be down here today to answer all the questions about bees. How are you, Ken?
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us.
All right. There we go. Sorry. There we go. Yes. We got one now. I don't know why that switch keeps getting switched, but it gets switched. Mm-hmm. All right. So talk to me in terms of a little bit about your background.
My background is as far as keeping bees. I've been keeping bees for, I don't know, about 17 years now, something like that. Been active in the bee club there, York County Beekeepers Association, about the whole time for that, you know. And we're just trying to help people understand about bees and try to encourage them to keep bees. You know, as difficult as it is, we're still trying to get people to keep them.
So how many people are in your association?
About 125. We're the biggest. Really? We're the biggest beekeeping association in South Carolina.
No kidding.
Right. Yeah.
And why is that? Because it's so easy to do it up here?
No, it's not because it's so easy to do. Because we worked hard at it. We've had a school for a number of years to try to teach people. And our goal is to help people be successful keeping bees. It's so difficult, and the more you learn, the more better. You know, only about 5% of the people that do not attend school and keep bees are successful about it. Learning the biology and those things gives you a basis to manage bees a lot better than if you don't have that little educational background.
So if I wanted to get into beekeeping, I'd come talk to you.
Yes.
And you put me through the York County Beekeepers
right.
School?
That's correct. And we have school the last part of January through about the middle of February. Every year we have school. So
what is it, a three or four weekend course?
It's actually about 5 weeks plus a practical thing in the field. So it's about a 6 weeks course altogether.
All right. For those like Ron Russell over here and myself who know nothing about bees, let me quote from an article that is in this month's York Electric Cooperative Magazine, and it's called South Carolina Living. And they have a very interesting article, which I'm sure you've seen, all about bees. Yeah. So I was struck by this quote in the article that Einstein, we all know who Einstein was, once said, if bees die, we die 4 years after them.
That's right.
That's how important they are to everything that we do.
Very much so.
And the article also goes on to say, strawberries, peach trees, cucumbers, squash, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower, these are just some of the crops that depend on honeybees as insect pollinators.
There's about 100 crops that is vital to have bees to pollinate. It's about 100 crops, including some of the fruits and vegetables you mentioned there, but not only that, nuts. The nuts as well, you know, the nuts have to be pollinated as well by bees.
So explain, for those of us who do not know the science of bees, what are those little critters do that make the peaches bloom, make the nuts what they are? What do they do?
Well, it's just the honeybee is one of God's greatest creations. I say second to mankind is a honeybee. And the way and these are things you learn in school too. The social structure of the honeybee is what makes it work. The social structure is a fascinating part of it. And we probably don't have time to talk about that.
Oh no, we're going to get to that.
But essentially, the bees send out workers. They send out workers and collect nectar and pollen. And they come back and they process the nectar and the pollen to form honey. To form honey. That's essentially what they do. In the process, as they're going from flower to flower to collect the nectar, they're moving pollen from one flower to the other, along with collecting it on their legs and bringing it back to the hive. So that's essentially that's why it's so important, because, you know, some plants are self-pollinating, where the wind can move the pollen between the different flowers on the plant. But these 100 we talked about, it's important, and it's not possible for them to self-pollinate, so it takes pollinators. Honeybees being the number one pollinator. There's others. There's bumblebees, and there's butterflies and things like that, you know, and even hummingbirds. Even hummingbirds, you know, are pollinators to a certain degree, but nothing quite the magnitude of the honeybee. That's why it's so important. And without that self-pollination, without the pollination of the honeybees, you know, the fruit just won't be produced. The fruits and the vegetables just will not produce.
Well, it's just like the human species, I guess.
That's right.
You got to fertilize the egg, essentially.
Yeah, that's right. Essentially the same thing. It's a parallel.
And that's something.
It's a parallel, you know, because they reproduce because, you know, the pistil and the stamen we learned about in biology, you know, in the flower, you know, it has to transmit the pollen, you know, from one flower to the other to fertilize the fruit.
Golly. So the big reason we're here today.
Yes.
And it's interesting that we're talking about this several years, if not more, after 60 Minutes did a program on this.
Yes.
Is
mm-hmm.
the decline of honeybees. Yeah. And I mean, this article says bees are dying at an alarming numbers across the country. And although thousands of labs are researching the causes, no one really knows why.
Well, there's not one single part. There's multiple reasons of declining populations in honeybees. One of them is habitat. You need to think about it. We live here in the South, and whenever they whack down all those oaks and these tulip poplars, I get it right here in a minute. When they whack all those down, they don't plant them back. They plant pine trees back. Pine trees are not a contributing factor to producing honey, or bees don't thrive in with pine trees. That's one of the things. That's one of the factors in our country is because of things. In the springtime, most of your nectar comes from the flowers on trees. Not, you know, the garden plants and the crops hadn't got in there yet. And the majority of that comes from trees, and there's not any nectar to be had out of a pine tree. It's deciduous trees, and you know that where you get the nectar from the flowers.
So do the bees pull the nectar out all year long from different species?
Well, whatever's available. Right now we're in somewhat of what I call a dearth. There's not a lot of nectar available right now. Some of the fall flowers will start coming on before long.
Right.
You know, and one of the big ones in the fall that kind of helps get the honeybee through the winter, to make sure it gets through the winter and everything, is ragweed, goldenrod.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Great.
So
makes everybody sneeze.
So that's one of the factors is habitat. Another factor is pesticides. There's, you know, I've tried to keep bees on farms where they use pesticides, and they just vowed that the pesticides they use are bee friendly and not harmful to bees and everything. But you couldn't prove it by me for my results and everything. You know, there may be other factors, but where there's, you know, not pesticides. We don't use any pesticides on our place at all. We got a lot of weeds and everything, but we don't have any pesticides or herbicides on our property. And we do fairly well with bees, except, you know, when in difficult circumstances, you know. But pesticides are a real issue, because honeybees when they go out to, when a honeybee leaves a hive, sometimes they fly 5 or 6 miles radius to collect nectar. And if they collect nectar off of a field or something that's had the herbicides in it, or pesticides in it, and bring it back to the hive, if they do much of that, you know, that can be a factor and everything.
What about the homeowner who's always working on his lawn to make it nice and green, yeah. Mm-hmm. Puts all those chemicals on there?
Yeah, that's...
No.
That's not good. It's not good, you know, and we just, you know, there's a cost and there's a benefit. Sometimes the cost really outweighs the benefit,
you
know. But a lot of people don't see it that way, you know, but that's a big factor and everything. But the biggest factor in the decline of honeybees right now is pest. We've imported pests over the years and as our economy has grown and we import more and more stuff from overseas, we're bringing things here that really didn't know was bringing, so it's too late. One of them was the hive beetle. In 1996, the hive beetle entered through the port of Charleston. And of all the pests that bother bees and hinder them, it is the least much problem. And and you can control them. Strong hives, you keep the hive beetles pushed out and everything. And a hive beetle, without the hive being strong, the beetles get in it and they ruin the honey. They just mess the honey up where it can be harvested, and the bees can't use it either, you know.
But so I want to ask you if there's also on your list.
Yeah.
You said habitats, the pesticides, mm-hmm. the pests.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about weather?
Weather.
Yeah.
Weather's a factor, but here in the south, weather is so mild. You know, a lot of times a new beekeeper will lose a hive, and they said my hive froze to death this winter. It got real cold and everything, and that's just not accurate. Most of the times when you lose a hive over the winter, it's because they've been weakened by the pest and the viruses that the pests carry. And they just don't survive the winter. They don't have the strength to survive the winter. Another factor is a lot of times a new beekeeper will not understand that you and take too much of the honey off and then not be enough honey. Freezing to death is not an issue in our area. So the weather can have a factor on it and everything, but you know, it's primarily the condition of the bees going into the winter.
So tell them what happened when Hurricane Helene came through.
Yeah, the Monday before Helene came through, we hosted an event at our home for the Catawba Master Naturalists to come learn something about bees, and we opened up two hives to let them look into the hives and see what bees are all about. Showed them drawn comb and brood and nectar, and showed them everything about this inside of a hive. And we didn't take the time at that time to find a queen and show them a queen, but there was evidence of the queen laying and everything. Hives are in good shape. And then the next week after Helene passed through, all the bees were gone. And no dead bees in the box or anything. The bees were just gone. It was like that they had... It's like they were looking for higher ground or something, for a safer place, you know, to not succumb to the storm and be able to survive.
Tell them about your friend who had 200 hives.
Okay, in Southern York County, there's a beekeeper that had 200 hives, and he lost all but just a minority of things. About 40 hives, I think, he had left, something like that. One of our club members that lives in Fort Mill, he had 16, and he wound up, I think, with 4 out of that. You know, he lost a lot, and it all happened at the same time. I got to tell him about in our bee club meetings. We always have a little question and answer thing at the beginning of it, call in the hive, where people discuss what's going on, you know, and if a young beekeeper has problems or something and needs advice, you know, some of the older ones will chime in and try to help guide them through things. And I mentioned what happened to mine last year, and this is how I found out about this keeper in Southern York County and the one in Fort Mill. They spoke up, you know, said, you know, there's you know, it's strange phenomenon, and I've asked people at Clemson and other beekeepers if they could understand why that is or heard about it, and none of them had ever heard tell of that. I don't know. It's just I don't know if it's just our region here. We were on the edge of Helene instead of right in the middle of it. So that may have been a factor. We don't know.
Phew.
We don't know.
All right. So we've got this massive problem.
Yes.
Everywhere in the world.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Not just here
That's
in South
right.
Carolina.
That's right.
They were losing honeybees.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing, if anything, to try to turn that around?
Well, one of the things, the most dangerous pest there is the varroa mite.
Yeah.
And the varroa mite was imported here and from Asia it came to America from South America somewhere around Y2K, year 2000. Year 2000, it made it from South America. It started out in Asia, went to Europe, and then to South America, and then it finally came to the United States.
Right.
And then it started ramping up in the USA. And since 2010, it took about 10 years for the varroa mite to be here before we started really noticing the devastating effects of it and everything. And what the varroa mite does is it's just a parasite insect. It cannot live without attaching to bees or attaching to the pupa in the brood comb.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing about it is, and this is what's difficult. There's lots of methods to try to control varroa mites, but when you use the same method over and over, sometimes it becomes resistant. And that's what we're talking about here lately. Is about the commercial beekeepers that haul bees to California and the West Coast all the time. They've had success with one method of treating a varroa mite, and they just kept using it for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden the mites became resistant, and there was a devastating loss in commercial beekeepers this year because of that. And that's, you know, when you think about all the fruit and nuts that come out of California, you know, the pollinators that are there, the pollinators are so vital out there that they haul truckloads of bees out there every year.
I bet they do.
Yeah, they do. And they move them all over California to pollinate the fruit trees and the nut orchards and things. So it's an important thing to try to manage that. One of the things that USDA is doing a lot of research and stuff, and there was a real interesting thing that popped up in our meeting this last time. One of our members had saw an article on the internet about they're doing some research with a little bitty insect that looks like a scorpion, and it's showing promise that it can be. Because it feeds on varroa mites. It'll feed on the varroa mite and not hurt the honeybee. It's showing some promise and everything. But here again, there may be a downside to introducing them into the hive, you know. So there's research going on for that now. There's some promising things on for right now.
All right, we've got to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, now, Ken, I didn't tell you about this, but you're a smart guy. You're going to pick up on this real quick. We make fresh subs and salads here at Substation 2.
Yes.
We do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. And at the count of three, we're all going to say the same thing together. Are we ready now? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at piedmontmedicalcenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very interesting conversation with Ken Modden. He's the president of the York County Beekeepers Association. And these little critters are just absolutely essential to our way of life because of all the food they do. But they do a lot more than food. I referenced at the beginning of the show, I'm an allergy guy. I get all kinds of allergies, and I take allergy shots, which are about, you know, 80% effective, 85%. But I found the icing on the cake. You're taking a teaspoon of honey every night.
Right.
Now, the doctors say that's a lot of bunk. I say, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, it's mighty strange that doctors would say that when some of the same chemicals that's in our manufactured medicine are in natural plants, you know. You know, like sweet gum, you know, Tamiflu, you know, sweet gum, Tamiflu is right. But bees, in reference to your thing about the pollen, you know, one of the ways that you deal with allergies is kind of like a vaccine. You expose yourself to different things that are a milder level, and it helps you build tolerance for it and everything. That's why it's so important, you know, people with allergies take local honey, because they're exposed to all the pollen in the local area anyway.
And let's emphasize local honey. We don't want something trucked in from Kalamazoo.
That's right.
Something is done here locally, and you've got 150 beekeepers that are selling this stuff. That's good.
Right. Yeah.
Now, what else? I mean, if somebody doesn't have allergies, is it good for them to take a teaspoon of honey every day?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's good for you. It's good all the way around, you know. It's good all the way around. It's the perfect food, really. You know, it's a balance of protein and carbohydrates. You know, the pollen in it is the protein.
Yeah.
You know, and the nectar, it forms the sugar. You know, becomes a carbohydrate. You know, you could if you had to, you could survive on honey and a little bit of fiber.
It tastes pretty good too.
Oh yeah.
And it never goes stale.
That's right.
It never goes stale.
Oh, yeah. I mean, honey is sterile. When there's no bacteria, things last forever. You know? You know, some of the honey that they took out of King Tut's tomb.
That's right.
Tomb was good, you know?
That's exactly right. All right.
Okay.
So you referenced in the first part of the program that, you know, the honeybees are a perfect creation of God.
Yes.
That they have a social order. Mm-hmm. They just get stuff done.
That's right.
Try to simplify that for us.
Okay. I have a little cheat sheet here. I can tell you a little something about it.
All right. Keep in mind we only have a few minutes left.
Yeah.
All right.
First couple of days that a bee is born, when it hatches out, it just cleans its own cell up. It cleans its own cell. The next 3 to 5 days, it cleans up other cells and helps keep the hive clean. Then it begins to feed the hatching out larvae that's coming behind it in the next few days. After it's 17 days old, it starts producing wax and carrying food and building comb inside the hive, and does undertaker duties. When bees die, they have to be thrown out of the hive. They take them out of the hive. At 21 days old, she has guard duty and helps protect the entrance to the hive. And then 22 days until the end of her life, which is usually no more than 45 days, she goes out and gathers nectar.
Really?
Yeah. She goes out and gathers nectar and brings it back, brings nectar and pollen back to the hive. And then she succumbs, and then another new one carries her out and dumps her out of the hive and everything. So it's only a 45-day life cycle, but in that 45-day life cycle, a honeybee will make a 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey. 1/12 of 1 teaspoon of honey.
Isn't that amazing?
So yeah, there's a fascinating structural order, you know, without even getting into the way that the mating occurs and all that and everything. But there is, it really is something. And this is one of the things that inspires people that are interested in beginners to it is because of it. I mean, they have in bee school, you learn about all the different social interactions, the way they communicate with each other. They have little dances and stuff that they communicate with each other. Same thing, you know, with the way hives split. You know, when a hive gets too big, if you don't manage a hive and it gets too big and too full, it's going to swarm. And they're going to start another hive. It's just one of the ways God gave them the desire and the ability to survive. They split so they can survive and keep propagating.
All right, now what about the queen?
The queen.
She's a special bee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How long does the queen live?
Queens can live 3 to 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's best to change a queen out maybe at 3 years, but they can live as long as 5 years and still be productive. You know, that is something really to fathom. You know, when you think about that queen is only been inseminated one time, and she can lay thousands and thousands of eggs over a 5-year period.
She's only inseminated one time.
Right, that's right.
And she keeps producing eggs.
Keeps producing eggs.
Like every day or every week or whatever.
Oh yeah, every day. every day except during the season. You see right now. The weather's starting to cool. Humidity's a little bit lower today. Temperature's a little bit lower today. In the next few weeks, this is the way God made them. They start declining their numbers. She stops laying eggs, and the ones that are hatching out are be the ones that'll survive the winter to start over in the spring. You know.
And that's something.
And nobody tells them how to do that. And it certainly doesn't happen by accident. You know. So yeah, it's fascinating about that. And when new beekeepers go through school and they learn about all these things and then they experience it that first year and everything, it inspires most of them to keep going. I know it did the same for me and my wife. It inspired us to keep going even though it's a losing proposition.
Yeah,
financially. Because,
yeah. As you say, if you lose a hive, it's about $500.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not to mention all the time you have to put into it.
The time. Unfortunately, we have other things on the farm to take care of and everything, and we don't get to take care of bees, but people in our bee club this is their main hobby and their main passion.
Right.
They do well with it.
So the bottom line is go get yourself some local honey.
Yeah.
You can go right down here to Farmer's Exchange and pick it up.
That's right.
But make sure it's local honey.
Local honey. And pure honey, too.
Pure honey, true. Mm-hmm. Well, Ken, you've been great. Appreciate you being here.
Okay.
Do you have a website where people can go to find out more about this?
No, we don't have a website right now.
You don't have a website right now. Okay.
Yeah, we don't have a website right now, but the club does.
Yeah. What do you know what it is very quick?
York County Beekeepers. Association.net.
All right, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. He had so much fun with this, we're going to do it one more time. Fresh subs and salads, we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. This is when the owner of the place comes out from behind his hallowed hall there. To supervise how we're going to do this. At the count of three, let's tell everybody, 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, 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 garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.